The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I was having a conversation yesterday with someone. We have a regular discussion about suttas. The theme that we were discussing yesterday was renunciation. And we both got so happy exploring this theme of renunciation. I thought I'd see if I could communicate some of that joy to you today. So, you know, renunciation doesn't have a very good reputation in our culture. And actually, it's maybe not just our culture, you know, that renunciation doesn't have a very good reputation. Here's a sutta description, one of the ones we looked at. It's a householder, a person who lives in the world, a merchant or someone who has a family, a home, etc. And he's talking to Ananda about his views on renunciation and sense pleasure. And here's what he says. "Venerable Ananda, sir, we are householders who indulge in sensuality, delight in sensuality, enjoy sensuality, rejoice in sensuality. For us, renunciation seems like a sheer drop-off. Yet I've heard that in the Buddha's teaching, the hearts of the very young monks leap up at renunciation, grow confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. So right here is where the Buddha's teaching is contrary to the great mass of people." So, does this sound familiar? This notion of renunciation being a sheer drop-off. You know, that's a very evocative image, I think. The sense of, if we don't have this, you know, if we have the idea or the sense that renouncing sense pleasure is what this teaching is about, it's like stepping off a cliff. You know, where does happiness lie if we don't get to experience, have our sense pleasure? So this is, I think this is a lot of our own concern around some of this teaching, around sense pleasure, you know, the letting go of sense pleasure, letting go of attachment to sense pleasure. And this sheer drop-off, we don't see, we don't understand how happiness can be apart from sense pleasure. So Ananda says to this householder, "This calls for a Dharma talk. Let's go talk to the Buddha about this." So they go off to the Buddha. And basically, the householder says the same thing to the Buddha that he said to Ananda. And here's the Buddha's response. "So it is, so it is. Even I myself, before my awakening, thought, renunciation is good, seclusion is good. But my heart didn't leap up at the thought of renunciation, didn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace." So even the Buddha, before his awakening, had this sense of renunciation, you know, the heart doesn't leap up. Well, you know, I like that image too, you know, leap up at the thought of renunciation. And he went on. He says, "The thought occurred to me, what is the cause, what is the reason why my heart doesn't leap up at renunciation, doesn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace? Then the thought occurred to me, I haven't seen the drawback of sensual pleasures. I haven't pursued that theme. I haven't understood the reward of renunciation. I haven't familiarized myself with it. That is why my heart doesn't leap up at renunciation, doesn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace." So he begins to make this exploration around sense pleasure. What are the drawbacks of sense pleasure? What are the rewards of renunciation? And he has a whole teaching around this topic, which I will explore with you briefly this morning, to explore how do we get caught by sense pleasure, and what are the dangers of sense pleasure, which will lead us to the rewards of renunciation. So the teaching is basically one of transforming our understanding around sense pleasure. As I said earlier, we kind of think of it as a sheer drop-off. You know, this is what the image of, you know, sheer drop-off. There's no way that we imagine happiness as being possible without this part of sense pleasure being included. So the Buddha's exploration of this is, it's a three-step framework, a three-step exploration around sense pleasure. And the three main key words here are gratification, danger, and escape. So the first exploration, and I love this part of the teaching. I think this is why I got so happy thinking about this yesterday, because the Buddha doesn't say, renounce sense pleasure, you know, sense pleasure is bad. He says, understand why you like sense pleasure. Get familiar with why it feels gratifying. Get familiar with that experience. So this is a piece of the teaching. Explore, understand the gratification with respect to sense pleasure. So this is acknowledging where we are. I mean, start by acknowledging where we are, that we find gratification in sense pleasure. So begin there. Look at that. Understand that. What is the gratification with respect to sense pleasure? There is some happiness that comes with having things that we like. There's no doubt about it. There's some happiness there. It feels good to have pleasant things in our environment, to eat pleasant food, to have people around us that we appreciate and enjoy. It feels good. No question that that is true. The additional instruction that the Buddha offers here is not to just understand the gratification, but his explicit instruction is, and understand, let's see if I can find the explicit words. It's something like, see how far the gratification extends. Essentially, how gratifying is sense pleasure, really? What is the gratification? And how long does it last? How long does the actual pleasure last for us? And what happens to us? What happens as that sense pleasure fades? So this is an exploration around, you know, mindfulness, using mindfulness with our experience around sense pleasure. What is the pleasure that we get out of it, and how long does it last? What we will find is that sense pleasure has a life. It doesn't actually often last that long when we actually look at it. What makes it last for us is when we move into fantasy around it. So, you know, we have a thought about this thing, and then we fantasize about it. And we get a little hit of pleasure from the fantasy as well. So I think of fantasy as also being an aspect of this sense pleasure. So we have a fantasy about it. Like, for instance, you know, we get a new car, you know. If you're thinking about the sense pleasure of food, that's pretty clearly not lasting very long. You know, you put it in your mouth, you eat it, you get a hit of it, tastes good, and then it's gone, and then we're reaching for the next bite, almost even before the pleasure of that first bite is gone. So we can really begin to see in certain areas just how fleeting the actual pleasure is. With something like having a new car, for instance, you know, there's the pleasure of having a car, but when are you actually experiencing the actual pleasure of the car? Maybe from time to time when you're driving it. Maybe. Or maybe you're more focused on what the other drivers are doing, and you're not even noticing how pleasurable it is to drive your new car. But we you know, fantasize about that car. We think about that car, and it brings us happiness to think about that car. So again, there's the where is that gratification coming from? What is the actual happiness there? know, it's in a thought. It's a thought. It's not the actual thing. And that's an interesting thing to explore, actually, that a lot of our pleasure comes not from the actual sense experience, but from thinking about it. So there's that gratification of sense pleasure. And how long does it actually last? So this points to the next aspect of the danger of sense pleasure, the danger of attachment to sense pleasure. That essentially with that idea, that belief that, having pleasant things is where it's at, is what we're going to, where we're going to find happiness, we end up kind of on a cycle. Because that sense pleasure doesn't last very long, what happens when that sense pleasure ends is that typically we go back and kind of, maybe subconsciously, maybe not consciously, but we reflect or think, well, when was the last time I felt good? Well, it was when I had something I wanted, or got rid of something I didn't want. So it kind of can be on both sides of it. So when was the last time I felt really good was when I had something I liked or it felt like I was in control. So that's what I need to do. And so we go off looking for the next thing to want so that we can get another moment of happiness, another moment of that pleasure. So this kind of keeps us tied on this chain of, okay, get what you want, get what you want, get what you want. That will make you happy. And what's happening there is that we're reinforcing this wanting. We're reinforcing this sense that that's how happiness can be found. So that's the danger in the following through on the sense pleasures, following through on getting what we want, that what we're cultivating there is more wanting. And wanting is not a pleasant or happy place to be. When wanting comes up, we immediately feel a sense of lack. It's already a feeling of something wrong when there's wanting. And so with that feeling of wanting, what do? We want to get the thing so we get rid of that feeling of wanting. So it's actually as much of this cycle that we're on about getting things that we want has to do with getting the thing as it does to getting rid of the feeling of wanting. It's actually more about getting rid of the feeling of wanting. Because if you can hang out and explore that feeling of wanting, not act on it, but just be with it. Oh, there's the wanting. You may see from time to time that wanting disappear. And then you'll see that there's no problem when the wanting goes away. You don't have to have the thing in order for the wanting to go away. When the wanting goes away, there is no problem. No need to have the thing. So a lot of our exploration here, a lot of the understanding that comes, is around exploring the wanting, exploring the dissatisfying feeling of wanting, and then beginning to see it release without having the thing that we want. And this points to the escape in the case of sense pleasure, because it is not actually the happiness of having something is actually pale in comparison to the happiness of letting go. When we recognize that feeling of the wanting releasing, it feels like being released from a vice grip. And that is a very wholesome kind of pleasure that comes. It's not a sense pleasure. It's a pleasure of releasing, a pleasure of not needing. So it's 15 minutes. That's all I get to say. I don't know. Why don't we talk about it in the informal time afterwards? Can you stay?
Sorry, I thought you were invited back just
now. No, unfortunately, it's noon, so we need to stop and move.